Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Brother G. Sullivan. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
God gave me a message that I'm just speaking about. I'm going to be talking about spiritual freedom in Christ. How many know that that's a necessity in life? The Bible says that that we are all born slaves to this world. From the moment we come out and take our first breath here, we are already slaves to this world. How many believe that? You know, I believe it because the Bible tells us that. Amen? And so tonight, I pray that God would allow me to bring this message out as clear as I can. You know, I ask God, you bring it out the way you want to. And I pray that we get something here tonight. I pray that, we grow. You know what? Like I tell my home fellowship group, on Fridays, I said, you know what? There's only one thing that we want to do here on Fridays, and that's to stay on track, stay focused on the cross, and do whatever it takes to get you heaven. I'm going to say amen to that. I'm not here to try to impress nobody. I'm not here to try to fake the funk, so to speak, like Pastor says, how G speaks, you know, to fake it out. I did all of that in the world. I'm tired of playing games. You know, I said, you know what, if I'm going to serve God, I'm going to serve God like I served the devil with all my heart. And I'm going to serve God with all my heart, man. And that's what I'm doing. You know, I'm trying to do the best of my ability. But how many know that even in our own strength, we can't do that? And that's why I'm dependent on God. I'm dependent on Him, and He showed me that. So tonight, I'm going to read the scripture. If you guys can turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1. And I'm just going to use this scripture as my foundation here, because this is the foundation. And then I'm going to open up with the word of prayer. I'll give you a minute to get there. Galatians 5, verse 1. Are we there? Amen. The Bible says, to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, tonight, once again, I'm so grateful, God, that I was given the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit here tonight to share your word, oh God. And I just pray, Lord, that your spirit would take full control of my being, oh God, and that you would allow what you want to be said tonight, to be said with clarity, to be said with power, to be said with your anointing, and that it would be received, oh God, and applied within our lives tonight, God. Lord, do what you do best, oh God. Cater to the brokenhearted people, oh God. Cater to those who are in need, oh God. Allow us to see ourselves tonight for who we really are and not who we think we are. And so, God, tonight we're careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Have your way tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 spiritual freedom in Christ. How many know that that is a necessity? If we're to get to heaven one day, that is an absolute necessity, that we are spiritually set free from being slaves to this world. How many can say amen to that? And God gave me this message because even in the church house, there's people who have not yet been set free from the shackles, the chains that the enemy has them in. They may have come to the altar and said a prayer, and in their hearts they believe that they have been set free. But as they walk out with those same shackles, those same things within them, and they just continue to be a slave to the world. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? There's people in here that sometimes, you know, they've been coming to church for a while. Now, I might not be speaking it may not be you. I'm speaking to us all. But there may be someone in here tonight who needs to hear this message, even if it's one person. Because sometimes we can get caught up into thinking we're okay because we've been doing it for so long, and we're not. But in our hearts and in our minds, we think we're okay. And so Paul, the reason why I wanted to share the scripture out of Galatians is because Galatians is a book that many scholars, they recognize it as the Christian's Declaration of Independence or the Book of Spiritual Freedom. See, Paul wrote Galatians during this time. You know, the Jews at that time that were still, these were the Jews that had killed Jesus. They were coming into the church that he had started some churches in the southern part of Galatia, and so Paul wrote this to counter against the Judaizing false teachers who were undermining the central New Testament doctrine of justification by faith, known by some as the gospel of salvation by grace through faith. Well, these Jews, these Judaizers, they were coming in here talking about, no, you still needed to be circumcised. They were still going by the things of the law. And Paul steps in and he hears what's going on and he says, no, wait a minute. These guys are coming in here and they're coming against the true doctrine of Christ that I had started here. And now not only are they coming in, but some of his leaders are starting to fall victims to what they're hearing. And so I shared that to let you know the time of what was going on during this time. And so Paul comes in, and he came in. Paul also wrote this letter to, you know, he came in, he wrote this letter to warn the churches that he had planted there the dire consequences that they were going to be, that was going to fall upon them if they were to abandon the true doctrine of Christ. And how many know that today, in our world here today, there's hundreds, maybe even thousands of churches around this world that are preaching another doctrine other than the true doctrine of Christ. How many believe that? How many know that? But the Bible tells us there's only one true doctrine, and that's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And how many believe that? That he came and he died on the cross. He gave his life for you and I, that whomever would believe by faith would be saved. That's right. And so that was Paul was trying to say. No, wait a minute, man. We're erased from all that. We're erased from all that. He even quoted saying in another scripture, I think was later on, that anybody who was to preach any other gospel other than this was to be accursed. Accursed. That's because they were bringing in and they were teaching something different now. So anyway, Paul steps in, and he's letting them know, look, are you going to continue to listen to them? Well, this is what's going to happen, you know. So Galatians, the book of Galatians, it deals with a lot of important issues in the Bible, a whole lot. It talks about the law. It talks about grace. It talks about the works, the gospel. It talks about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. It talks about his death, burial, and resurrection. It talks about salvation, and it talks about sanctification. All of these that are critical gospel-related realities are part of this book. But tonight, we're going to focus on one important thing, and that's freedom. Freedom. And that's what we're going to be focusing in tonight on. And that is the freedom that only Christ can give us. How many can say amen? Because in today's world, especially here in the United States, freedom is just... it's just gone out. You've seen it just recently with what's going on in our streets. Even it's even come into our sports world, where people are, you know, people have their own thoughts, their own agendas, their own thing, and they're seeing things the way they want to see them. How many can say amen to that? And so this is where we're standing at today. But tonight I'm praying and hoping that God will reveal some to us that the freedom that we're talking about is freedom in Christ, that the freedom that only he can give, not what the world sees as freedom, but the freedom that only he can give us. How many can say amen to that? Who, as a matter of fact, who wants that freedom? I don't know about you, but I want that freedom. I don't want to be walking around, because we have to live in this world. We see the things of this world, what everybody calls free. And sometimes, believe it or not, we can get caught up in it and be right up in it, thinking that we're part of it. This is freedom to us, but it's not. See, freedom is a very important topic that I want to talk about tonight. It's because I know that most people, most sinners are that way, is because they're slaves to sin. Still, they're still slaves to sin. But I want us all to understand, if those of us who've come and given our hearts sincerely, truly given our hearts to the Lord, that the moment you have surrendered your heart to the Lord and you accepted him in your life, that at that moment right there, that you have been set free. You were no longer a slave of the enemy, but now you became a slave to Jesus Christ. How many can say amen to that? But that's by faith. That's supposed to happen. But most of the time, because you're new or because you don't know nothing about it, you come and you say that prayer and you walk out that door, and guess what? You walk out the same. Nothing's really even happened to you. But you walk out that door thinking that something has. But you see yourself doing, saying, and acting the same way as you walked in. How many can say amen to that? It's reality. Can I get an amen? It's real. You know, it's real. It happened to me. It could be happening to us even today, even as strong believers. The Bible said, Paul said it like this in the book of Romans, man, with this wretched man that I am. And he was a man of God. He had heard from God. He had, you know, been totally transformed by the power of God. But yet that war that he was battling him in Romans 7 that he spoke about, that was dealing with him, and though he wanted to do good, he continued to do bad. He recognized that there was a struggle going on within. And it was the spirit and that fleshly man. That how many know that, you know, as long as we're here, we're going to have a sinful nature about us. That's just the way it is. But it's one thing to have a sinful nature about us and not care or not know that, than to have that sinful nature and to know that there's a sinful nature, and to know that we have the power to overcome the sinful nature within us. How many can say amen to that? You know, God has given us that, and we got to understand it, and we got to believe that in our heart. So I thought that, you know, this freedom that we're talking about tonight was very important, so we're going to talk about tonight. You know, today, you know, freedom is very popular in the world today, especially in our country this day and this time. You know, because the United States is considered what? The land of the free. The land of the free. Everybody's trying to get over here. Everybody wants to get here because they think that once they get here, they could be free. Free from poverty, free from whatever it is, that wherever it is they come from. But in their minds, in their thinking, their concept, they're already thinking that this is the land of the free. We can have whatever we want. We can do whatever we want to do. This is the land of the free. And so in their hearts, that is freedom to them. But how many know that it's not? It's not freedom to them. See, men and women in our culture, you know, they pride themselves on their own personal freedom. I mean, what I'm talking about. People like to do whatever they want to do. They don't like to be told what to do. Even Christians. Hear me now. I'm trying to help somebody get somewhere. I struggle. And I love God with all my heart. I struggle. So I'm sure someone sitting out there tonight is struggling as well. We struggle. It's that war that goes on inside of us all the time. And we struggle, and we just got to be real with it, man. I'm coming to the doctor, Dr. Jesus. Here, I'm messed up. Help me. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with me so you can fix me. I don't want to just be coming over here to your office, man, and just to talk and to fake it and to walk out the same. I want to get healed. Amen? So we like that. We like our freedom. We like to do what we want to do. You know, never has there ever been such a confused understanding of the meaning of freedom in my whole lifetime than what I see today. It's all messed up. I want to be a lady today. Lord have mercy. People don't even know who they are. People don't even know what they want to be. This world is twisted. Especially today. People today, men, women, and even our children, think that freedom comes from being able to do whatever you want to do. They think that's what freedom is all about. Hear whatever you want to hear. You know what I'm talking about? Selective hearing. Oh, I didn't hear that. Selective hearing. You hear what you want to hear. They don't want to hear anything that would impose on their so-called freedom. Nothing. They don't want to hear it. It's like somewhere, somehow, we've lost touch with all our godly values, our principles, everything that this country was founded on. I mean, to say amen. And not just the country, the world in the whole. Everyone has lost touch. It's like we no longer, especially here in the United States, it's like we no longer have moral restraints. No moral restraints. You hear kids talking back to their parents. I've seen it in stores all the time. Little kids talking back to their mom and dad. Oh, could you please be quiet for a minute? Oh, we're going to have to put you in timeout, Junior. You think the kid is listening to that? I don't know about you, but my timeout, boy, you needed a timeout after my mom and dad got done with you. You need it, man. Mom, can you have a timeout for a minute? Because I need it. Whew. You know, we've lost it. Somewhere down the line, we've lost it. We've lost it. There's, you know, here's the thing. You know, there's no guidelines anymore in our life. We've just gone astray. It's like cattle, man, running free, doing whatever you want to do. There's no recognition of accountability. There's no recognition of accountability. There's no recognition of responsibility. And there's no recognition of the judgment that's going to fall upon you. How many can say amen to that? Because if there was, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. People would not be doing what they're doing if they knew. This is where we're at. See, people demand, and so we hear people, they demand freedom to do whatever they want, to disagree. They want to have the freedom to disagree when they want to. The freedom to express, just like I said, these guys, they want to express that they're a woman or so forth or whatever. They want to have that freedom to express whoever they want to be. The freedom to be free from authority. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You see it on TV. And they wonder why people are getting shot and killed all the time. I don't know about you, but in my day, when they jab me up, I'm just, you know, I ain't even trying to move because I know what happens. You know what? You want my, here's my ID, officer. Here's this. Here's that. Just do what you got to do. But you see in videos today that guys, they don't want to be told what to do. They're out there and they wound up getting shot or killed because they don't want that authority over them. How many know that God places authority over our lives to keep us in line? You know what? I became the person that I became because I didn't like authority. I didn't like to be told what to do. I don't know, maybe some of you can relate to what I'm talking about. But I know, but once I came a certain age, that was it. Nobody could tell me nothing. G knew it all. I knew it all. And that's why I became the person that I was. It's because I knew it all. Nobody was going to tell me nothing. Nothing. And so thank be to God that one day, you know, I came into a place, man, where I was able to surrender my heart, man. And it was until it was that day when I came in and said, you know what, God, here I am. I'm all messed up. 38 years of my life. Blown it. I can't. I think I'm a man. I'm not. I can't even handle a family. A job, and I've had good jobs. I had a good family. I had good things, but I lost it all, and I had to come to terms with that in my life. And when I came into this Christian rehab home, I surrendered my heart. I said, "You know what, God? I had to be real with it. I can't do it. Everything that I thought I could do, I can't do." But God, these men here are telling me that you can change my life. And if you can change my life like they tell you, like they're telling me that you can, then here I am. I'm willing to do whatever it is you want me to do so that I can see, so that I can see for myself that you could change my life. I was going to take my hands out of this. Take my hands out of this one. And just let God do what he had to do. You know what, God, I'm not going to, you know, whatever it is. And that was rough. That was rough because, like I said, I was there. I didn't like authority. I didn't like to be under anybody. I wouldn't even listen to my mom. And now I have a 17-year-old that was a counselor trying to wake me up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get up and go pray. What the heck, man? You know what? I wasn't really saved yet. You know, I was just in the house of God, but I wasn't saved yet. Can I get an amen? And I share that because, you know, a lot of times people come to church time and time and time again, and they're still not saved. They're still not saved. I'm trying to help somebody. Man, if there's something keeping you, you got to identify with it tonight. You have to identify with it. Don't keep coming in here, chime in and chime again, and thinking that everything is all right, and you know it's not. You don't have to. You don't have to come up here and, you know, shout it out from the rooftop. You come right here, and you get personal with God, with Jesus Christ himself, because he will hear you, and he will begin that healing. I'm going to say amen to that. He will. He's the true doctor. He's the true physician. He's not going to give you some pharmaceutical medicines. He gives you the real deal. Amen? Let me not get off track. Because we could go for a long time if I do. But see, we don't like that authority. You know, we like to have freedom from all moral ethics. We like to have freedom from the law. We don't like nothing, you know, being imposed on. To the eyes of this world, the way the world sees it, this is what they call freedom, you know. And to me, it's just this big, giant lens of deception. That's all it is. We're just looking, they're looking at this world through this big old lens that's deceiving them. Thinking that, you know, you know what the world's taught today? That if you can attain all these things, then you can attain some status now. And so they're driven by that. I know somebody, I ain't gonna mention no names, but they look at these people on TV, everything they do, and then when next time I see that person, she's walking around like them. Acting like them, doing what they do, everything. It's like they mimic them. The world just shows you a whole bunch of stuff, man. But anyway, it's a big lens of deception. They think they're free and they're not. Listen, if you don't get anything at all, get this. For those who have never surrendered their heart to the Lord, they're walking around with an unregenerated soul. And they're not free. And that soul, guess what? Is bound to what? Everlasting death. Hell, for eternity. For eternal. That's what that unregenerate soul will get you. And people need to know this. They need to know this. See, the only freedom they have is the freedom. This is the only freedom that the world really has. The only freedom that they really have is the freedom to choose what sin appeals to them the most. That's the only freedom they have. Well, you know what? I don't want to do this, but I'll do this. I don't want to do that, but I'll do this. You can pick and choose, so to speak, whatever sin you want to dabble in. Amen? That's what the world does. So they want to come to the land of the free, and this is what they're coming to. You know, United States is a place. You know, I'm grateful that I live here. Believe me, I really am. But it isn't until you're able to see out of the eyes of God that you're able to now use discernment on what you pick and choose. Can I get an amen to that? Because God takes control now. It's God that's directing. It's God, it's the Holy Spirit that's leading now. Amen? You're getting kind of quiet in here, man. I'm hoping I'm not. I'm speaking to myself too, so. So, therefore, this freedom, look, therefore, there is no freedom from sin. There is no freedom. See, as long as we're our hearts are in that unregenerated condition, we have yet still the freedom that we have. Let me see how I put that here. Therefore, there is no freedom from sin. Therefore, there's no freedom from guilt. There's no freedom from fear. There's no freedom from judgment. Or, I'm talking about judgment. There's no freedom from judgment from God himself. And there's no freedom from eternal punishment. It's not. Because the Bible says that if your soul is ungenerated, if your soul is still in a sinful condition, then guess what? Then it will be cast into the lake of fire. It's death. It's death. That's what it is. See, they are bound to sin to the degree that the Bible says that we are all slaves to sin, just like I shared earlier. Free to choose which sinful master that they prefer. We're bound, people of the world are bound to chains of transgression and iniquity, headed for a sentence from God that will assign them to eternal punishment. And that's all the freedom that this world sees today. That's all it sees. Does anybody know what it would take to be set free from that? Just a word? You know what it is? It's the truth. It's the word of God. This is what sets you free. Turn your Bible to John 8:32, if you will. I don't care what people tell you. If it's not from the Word of God, it has no foundation. Can I get an amen? In John 8:32, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It says, "And you shall know the truth." And that's this kind of truth. "And the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "But we are Abram's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. So how can you say you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son," speaking of Jesus Christ, you see the capital S? "So if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed." How many can say amen to this? Amen. And this is what I'm saying. You know what? When you give your heart to the Lord, it's got to be sincere. It's got to be real. It can't just be words coming out of your mouth. It's got to be heartfelt. It's got to be spirit driven. You got to mean it. You can't just come up here because somebody's telling you to do it. You got to do it because, you know what? I want to do it. I'm tired of this lifestyle. I know where I'm headed. I'm tired of this. Amen? Amen. I want to get it right. This is the only thing that's going to save us. It transformed your mind. The first time I picked up a Bible and started reading one that I could understand, because the King James Version had me lost. Once I got to the ifis and thouif and this, that, and that, that, and that, I'm like, okay. And I was like, and I wouldn't pick it up again. But when I got to that rehab home, and there was, I've seen different versions, I was like, man, I started seeing, God started opening up my eyes. I didn't want to put the book down. And then I started seeing how ugly I really was. I thought I was ugly. I was ugly. I was real ugly. I don't even know how my wife looked at me. I was ugly. Or was it me looking at you? I was ugly. Anyway, this is the only thing that can set us free from who we are. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. Because it tells you the truth. It doesn't lie. And sometimes, you know what, when you're reading, you're seeing, you know, it's not what you want to hear or want to read, but it's what you have to read. Sometimes all medicine don't taste good. You know what I'm talking about. That medicine, you know, I remember my mom used to put that Mercuricade on you, man, on an open cut. Burn like that. Burn, crying. But that stuff was killing everything in there, man. It was killing every bacteria you can think of. Sometimes the ugly tasting medicine, man, sometimes it's for the good. And sometimes the word, when God is revealing stuff to you, it don't feel good. I mean, know what I'm talking about. It doesn't feel good. But that's where that change starts taking place. God starts showing you who you are, what you really are, where you're really going. And when God started revealing that to me, I said, whoa, wait a minute. Thank be to God that he's opening up my eyes, that I can see now. I can see. You know, people might think, oh, man, you like that now, G? You like that? You got soft on me? No, I ain't got soft on you or nothing. I can see now. I was blind. And I was doing what everybody else was doing. But I can see today. You know, punk, chump, weak, bro. I know who I am. And what you're saying, I'm none of that. I'm none of that. I can see now. I could walk away from your madness and give God the glory for allowing me to see, praise God. The devil would have me go over there busting somebody else during the rest of my life in prison. That's what they would want to see. Oh, you got soft on me, Brother G. No, I ain't got soft. I got wise. I gave my heart to Christ. That's what happened. That's what happened to me. Amen. People look at me on the outside. See, the work happens on the inside. See, I still look kind of ugly and thuggy. Guys at work say, a girl at work that knows us pretty good, she works with us. She goes, go talk, man. You having a problem? Go talk to that brother right there. Go talk to him. Who, that brother right there? Yeah, go talk to him. He's a minister. That dude's a minister? Yeah, go talk to him. People are scared like to talk to me. And then once they come over and talk to me, they go, man, you're such a nice guy. Man, when I first looked at you, man, I thought that, man, I was scared to even look at you. You know, I still got that about me. But it's what takes place inside that counts. Amen? God does the work from the inside out. And then it starts coming out on the outside. But the inside is where it needs to start. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it's the word that will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free indeed. See, all humanity, Scripture says, you know, we're all enslaved in sin. You know, we're enslaved by all kinds of sins of darkness ruled by Satan, who is, you know who Satan is, right? He's the prince, and he's the power of this world, of the air. He dominates this world. See, you know, if you don't know that, you're thinking it's just you. You're thinking it's just them. You're thinking it's just the world. You're thinking that this is just the way it is. This is how it is. This is what life is all about. And it's not. It's not. Because the devil, Satan himself, he's got that lens over our eyes, the world's eyes, that lens of deception that I was talking about. He dominates. He's the one that dominates. It's like a puppet pulling strings. You walk around like this. I remember he had me, real quick, if you don't mind. He had me. I used to smoke rock cocaine, by the way. And he had me down on the ground looking for pieces of rock, any kind of rock that I could put in my pipe. And I can look back and I can just see the devil here. Go ahead, go walk over here. Pick that rock up and put it in your pipe. Now light it up and smoke it. Dirt. I put soap in my pipe one day thinking that it was a rock. But that's how the devil has you. He has you out there like that. He had me chasing dope, man, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, man, with my shirt off, with my stereo blasting, driving my bike down there loud, 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 thinking that nobody could see me. That's how he had me. Crazy. I could go deeper than that, but you know what? I'll leave that one alone. You get what I'm talking about. See, the freedom that, you know what, we are, you know what the world are? We're children of the devil. That's who we are out there. And the freedom that they enjoy are only illusions. On illusions that will take us to eternal bondage in hell and punishment. There is no freedom in there. Nothing. We're slaves. Turn your Bible. Let's turn to Romans 6. 6. If you will. Listen. I said that, look, you want to get away from that? You need to come to this cross. And you need to be sincere about it. You need to know, just like Paul was reiterating with these Galatians, that you know what? This is all a walk of faith. You know, the Judaizers were trying to say, no, it was still works that had to, you still had to do the works, you still had to be circumcised. You still, no, we're going away with all that. It was justification by faith. Now, you were justified by faith just by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and everything was by faith now. You were believing that right there and then that God had set you free. And you got to believe it without a shadow of a doubt. When you come with that sincere heart, when you come with that broken and that contrite spirit before God, not worrying what people say, not worrying about what people think. You're coming because you're worried about what he thinks and what he says. He's the one that you're trying to please, not people. That's when that healing starts taking place. How many can say amen to that? Romans 6:6, I'm going to read like this, New King James. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Faith, by faith. We're believing this by faith, amen? Amen. It's all by faith. knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. That's the hope that he's given us, you guys. That's something to get excited about. Once he pulls us back up, man, we ain't dying no more. Dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives now, he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Thank you, Jesus, man. And that's the word. That's the word. That's what I'm saying. It's important. The word will start setting you free. When you start reading God's word, man, he starts to reveal things to you. Let's go down a little further in the same chapter, verse 17 through 19. Same chapter, Romans 6. But God be thanked, though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became, guess what? Now we've become slaves to righteousness now. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. He changes our mind now. Now we have a different mindset. See, he allows us to know that now we're a slave to a new master. And he's a master of holiness. He's a master of righteousness. That's who we want to emulate. Thank you, sister. That's who we want to emulate. We want to be Christ-like. Amen? That's when you get others talking about, wait a minute, what is that that brother got? What is it that that sister got? I want some of that. You become Christ-like, and people want that. It starts to illuminate. But it starts from the inside. Amen? That work starts from the inside, and then it comes outside. That's right. Verse 19, it says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Oh man, God is doing something in our lives today. God is doing a new thing in our life. Thank God that he's opened our eyes and he's opened our hearts. I was telling my wife, and I don't know if you guys could relate to this, but some of you guys who've been locked up can probably relate. God always shows me things like that. Maybe because I was locked up a lot. But he showed me something. You know, before you even get sentenced, you know, and you're sitting in county jail, they put you in these dorms. And you're in these dorms with about 40 men sometimes. And then at a certain time, they lock it all down for a count. And everybody goes to their dorms. I mean, they go to their rooms now. So you're in this big quad with about 40 guys. Now you're going into your rooms. Your cell, and then they lock you up. And sometimes they're three man cells sometimes. And sometimes they got four to five guys in there. Guys are on the floor. It's ugly. Anyway, sometimes you're in there for hours, and you're in there, man, when are they gonna let us out? Man, they got us locked up in here, man. Like, you know, we're locked up in here. We've been in here for 4 or 5 hours. Then all of a sudden, the doors open. And they run out like cattle. Oh, we're out. We're out. We're free. We're free. But they're still in that big old dorm, locked up. There's people who come to church. This is that door that gets you free. This is the door that will get you free. This one right here. But you know what they do? They walk back outside there and they're still locked up. They're still locked up. Thinking that they're free and they're not. They're still locked up. But guess what? Guess what God showed me even yet? They still got to go before the judge. They still got to go before the judge. So I looked at it like this. God will show us our ugliness in the hopes that we would start seeing with his eyes and change our life. I look at jail like this. It's an opportunity for you to wake up, say, you know what? I messed up. Let me change my life now. You know, I'm too old for this, or, you know, I'm done with this. Or you can start hanging around with the guys that are connected in there, and you can start getting worse. You start being worse. And that's kind of like what God gives us. It gives us an opportunity to choose what we want to do. First, he shows us our ugliness and says, look, this is what's going to happen to you. You know, but guess what? The judge is different. This is the ultimate judge we're talking about. And so he's one to be feared. How many can say amen to that? See, the judge of the world is just temporal, but it's the same concept. And so God give us, you know, that's why we come in. I hear the pastor week in, week out. Who wants to come and surrender their heart? Like I said, people could be coming in here, man, for 2, 3 years, 4 or 5 years, and really haven't really surrendered their heart fully to the Lord. Can I get an amen? Because I've seen it many times. And, you know, without, you know, having to be critical, without having to be a judge, because we're not judges, but God gives us a heart of discernment. You can see it in a person, you know, and only that person can come to God and say, God, fix me. I can't tell you, you know what, you need to go to, you know, you need to get right, brother. You need to get right, sister. No. You can share with that person, but it has to take a step of faith from that person himself. How many can say amen to that? So, as we go back to the opening scripture that I opened with, in Galatians 5:1, it read, to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. You've heard Pastor share, and you guys know for yourself, that was a horrible, horrible death that Jesus Christ endured for us. And the reason that he did it is so that we would be set free. So that we would be set free. That's why I use that scripture as an opener, because look it, that we would not, and then it goes on and says, that we would not be entangled again to that yoke of bondage. Because whom the Son sets free is what? He's free indeed. He's free indeed. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to continue to make a sin every now and then. We sin daily, like I said. But the only difference is that you're conscious of it now. You're conscious of your sin. And God, forgive me, Lord. God, forgive me for thinking the way I'm thinking. Forgive me for hardening my heart towards that brother or sister the way I did, God. Give me the humility to approach them and tell them that I'm sorry. Let me show them that you're it, that you do live in me. Can I get an amen? See, we're here to glorify God. It's our gratitude for what he's done for us that allows us to bring glory and honor to him through our lives. It's our gratitude. When you understand the price that he paid on that cross for an ugly sinner like me, that's why when you guys go, oh man, Brother G, he cries a lot. Yeah, I cry a lot because I'm grateful. Only I know where I was going. I know the things that I'd done. I didn't think there was anybody or anything that could save me or change me. But thank be to God. Thank be to God that he saved not only for me and you, but for the sins of the world. Of the world. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So that scripture right there in a nutshell, right there, is what this book of Galatians, that's what Paul was trying to tell him. No, wait a minute. You guys have been set free. Why are you guys going back into this bondage that these guys are preaching? Look, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter where else you look. You'll never find freedom. Not the freedom. Not the true freedom that you can only find in Christ Jesus. How many can say amen to that? And I don't know about you, but that's the freedom that I want. That's the freedom that I want. I want that freedom, man, that will one day get me into the gates of heaven and hear his voice. Well done, my great and faithful servant. Welcome. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So remember that the freedom that we're looking for is the freedom that we can find in Christ and Christ only. Listen, as long as we're in bondage to sin, you are not free. But as soon as you're in bondage to Christ, you have officially been set free. Can I get an amen? Officially. You're free from the consequences of this world. And one day, you'll be free from the presence of sin forever. Oh, thank you, Jesus. No more sin in our lives. No more sin. I can't even fathom that yet. Because all I knew, I know is sin. But to be in a place where your sin ain't never heard of or thought of no more? Oh, my God. Lord, help me. Help us get there. Amen? Lord, help us get there. That's what we're striving for, Lord. Listen. When a person comes with that heart, I got 3 points, and then we're closing. Pastor, am I okay? On time? Are we okay here? I just got 3 points real quick that I want to. 3 points that God gave me that I think are very vital for us if we are to stay free. Because how many know that we can always go back to that bondage that Paul was talking about? I dare you to go back because, you know, I'm here to warn you, man, that you're going to suffer some dire consequences if you go back. So that's telling me that we can always go back. So 3 points that God put in my heart, I believe, that'll help us. And number one is you got to fully surrender your heart to the Lord and truly come with a repentant heart. It has to be a truly repentant heart. And it doesn't happen just one time. People come to the altar one time and think it's done. No, that's where it begins. But it took prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer for me before I got my breakthrough, before the Spirit of God finally came across me. And I was able to say in my heart, I forgive the boy who murdered my son. It was God. It was the peace of God. I truly came up. God, forgive me. Forgive me, because his life became the way it did because of me. I took full responsibility. Sometimes we just got to take full responsibility and stop blaming people. How many can say amen to that? God, it wasn't about nobody but me. I think David said it best. Psalms 50, 51, when he said, against you, God, and you only have I sinned against. It wasn't against them. The people that I hurt, the people that I stole from, the people. No, it was against you and you only. And he was repentant about it. That's where that true repentant. It's got to be a true repentant heart. Can I get an amen? In Galatians, if you just write it down, Galatians 2:20 in the English Standard Version, it says, look, I have been crucified now with Christ. It's no longer G. It's no longer you that live. But it's Christ now who lives in you. And the life that we live now in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself. He gave himself for us on the cross. Acts 17, 30. 30 and 31. New King James Version. Truly these times of ignorance God has overlooked. How many are grateful for that? That God has looked those times of ignorance in our life. I don't know about you, but I was one ignorant person out there. He says, truly these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. He commands. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. How many can say amen to that? Praise God. The second point is that, look, you know why a lot of times we do what we want to do? Say what we want to say? Act how we want to act, is because there's no accountability in our life. And we could sit here and say, well, you know what? I got my wife or I got my husband. I'm accountable to him. Well, that's good. But guess what? They a sinner just like you. Are you listening to me? They're a sinner just like you. You know who you got to be accountable to? You got to be accountable to God. Romans 14, 7 through 12. Write it down. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live now, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand, listen now, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Oh, my goodness. You ain't got to give an account to me. You ain't got to give an account to your pastor. You got to give an account to God. Because you got to remember this. There's nothing that goes unseen before God. So you can say, yeah, I'm accountable to my wife and my husband, but they don't see your everything. They don't know the depths of your heart. Only God does. So when you know that, maybe you'll start straightening up a little bit. I'm accountable to God. And the Bible says that one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, and that I will have to give an account of myself. That one right there woke me straight up. Whoa. Because you know how it gets. Sometimes you think you're slick. Sometimes you think, oh, man, ain't nobody going to know. Nobody know. Nobody will know that I look twice. Probably a dude. We'll let that one go. It's probably a guy. My goodness. Lord have mercy. And the last point that I want to make before I bring Pastor up here to close us out. Are we getting something here tonight? Thank you, Jesus, Lord. The last thing, and I think it's important as well, and that is being obedient to the Word of God. You can't just read it. You have to live it. Are you listening to me? You have to live it. Because if you don't live it, you're not going to have no results. You get the results when you start living it. Can I get an amen? Because people, I knew a guy that could quote the Bible back and forth, like left and right. And then I looked at his life and I was like, man, that boy, I was like, and he could quote you scripture after scripture. But if you looked at his lifestyle, you would think, no way. The Bible says that even the devil knows the word of God. Obedience to the word of God. Romans 2, 5. 2:11, New King James Version. Write down the scripture. You can read it later. But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. He's saying it again. He's going to hold us accountable according to our deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Did you hear that? Continued patience in doing good. That means it doesn't matter what you're going through right now. You just continue to do good. You just continue. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. You just continue to do good. And you just continue to do good. Continue to seek after his glory and his honor. That's right. But to those who are self-seeking, like the world, like the ones that want to do what they want to do and see what they want to see, be what they want to be, self-seeking, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. Of the Jew first, and also to the Greek, also to us. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works for what is good. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And guess what? There is no partiality with God. He's not a respecter of man. He judges everybody's going to get it the same. How many can say amen to that? Did we get something here tonight? Yeah. Praise God. Pastor Fee, thank you for allowing me to share, Pastor Fee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's give God another shout of praise in the house. Brother G, wonderful word. Man, that spoke volumes. And it's always, man, I'm telling you, it's always a blessing to sit and receive. You know, I'm always, you know, preparing the table before us. And as preachers of the gospel, there needs to be time to sit and receive. And Brother G, there are just two things that that really spoke volumes to me in your message. Is I have some dear friends that came from Iraq, and I met them through real estate transactions and things of that nature. And they came here to this country to be free from the oppression of the Iraqi government. And the majority of them were Muslims. And these are Chaldeans, so they're Christ believers. But they came here to establish a life for themselves, and yet they're still in bondage. And instead of, you know, coming here and let me learn how to be righteous and be free in this country, you know, they have a shop that's called the smoke shop, and they got every paraphernalia in there you can think of. And so that spoke volumes to me. And then the second point I want to just bring out is God spoke to me is to continue to have a tender heart toward one another, because we will stand before the King. And we're going to have disgruntles. We're going to have, you know, disagreements and all that. But you know what? Keep your heart tender. Let it sometimes just fall off you like Teflon faith. You know why? Because that will show more glory to God than to engage in contentment. And so that spoke volumes and volumes to me. And I thank and praise God for that. And but I'm believing God that whether it's someone here right now or someone listening on the internet that has truly engaged with this message, my prayer is that if you're listening and you've never truly surrendered your heart to Christ, this is your opportunity right now. And maybe there's some of you right now that when we close in prayer that you would come to the altar and just and cry out. I mean, come on. I know it's 9 o'clock, but Wednesday nights, I was just, back in the day, I was just getting out of the shower to head to the Black Angus. Come on. No, that was our Wednesday nights. I remember back, well, that was way before your time. That's right. We were getting out of the, I was just getting out of the shower right now, getting ready to go. And I had to make sure that I got the last rounds around 10 to 2. And then still had some liquor at home to go top it off that night. Come on. You know how it was. So we have some time here if you need to come to the altar and just say, Lord, just keep my heart inclined toward you, God. And listen, it's okay if we've offended one another or offended God. It's okay. You know why? Because when we come to the cross, that's when we find our freedom. And that's when things can dissolve away. And we can look back to say, thank you, God, for always keeping me in check before you. And so if you're listening to this message right now and you've never given your heart to God, we here at Amazing Grace, our church family, wants to pray with you right now. And the prayer doesn't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that'll save you. And as Brother G totally elaborated tonight, is it has to be heartfelt from within. There has to be a true repentance in your heart. If there's a door that unlocks the things that God has for us, that's the key. The key is repentance. And so if that's you, we're going to pray with you right now. Just pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God praise and glory in the house. Come on, is he worthy? Is he worthy, worthy, worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.